Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, it's always our delight to have you on board as we face the issues. Very important subject we'll be talking about today, a theological, doctrinal, biblical subject that I believe it's imperative for every listener to have a clear understanding of what we're talking about today. During the course of this broadcast, we're going to have a short monologue, and after the monologue, our lines are open for you to join in the dialogue and discussion. What is paradise? What is paradise? Is paradise heaven? Is paradise a different place than heaven? If so, where do you find it in the scripture? Does it make a difference if paradise is heaven or if it's not? What difference does it make theologically, doctrinally, and biblically about the question of what is paradise? Where do you find paradise in the scripture? Should we believe what some, quote, theologian of yesteryear may have said about paradise and the term that's being used in the world today, disinformation? Or should we believe what the scripture says and the scripture only? We'll be talking about that today. And that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios right to our microphones so that we can entertain your question, comment, dialogue, and discussion. I'd love to hear from you today. What are your thoughts on it? What do you know about it? What have you been told? What do you believe is true? And how do you stand on the issue? What is paradise? Is paradise heaven? And ladies and gentlemen, we face the issues as we do each and every day on this broadcast. We do so based on the authority of Scripture. It's the truth book. Jesus said in John 8, 31 and 32, as he's speaking to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciple indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." And then Jesus says, "I am truth," in John 14, 6. And further in John 17, 17, the Lord Jesus says, "Thy word is truth." And ladies and gentlemen, in Psalms 117 and verse 2, the scripture says, "The truth of the Lord endureth forever." The truth of the Lord endureth forever. There's not another truth on the face of the globe that will endure forever other than the truth of the Word of God. And ladies and gentlemen, truth is disdained today. Truth is rejected, repulsed, and rebelled against, and dissed, as the world calls it. George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear, in writing his dystopian novel called 1984, made a very profound statement. He said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." We find that to be factual today, as no other time perhaps in the history of the world. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the reason I go back to a 15th century theologian and church reformer, of whom, by the way, I'm not in total agreement with his theology, but he made a very powerful statement. He says, "Faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death." And I challenge us each and every day to do that very thing, especially with the realization and the understanding that the truth of the Lord endureth forever. It's a pretty good period of time, forever. How long is forever? It's forever. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages For individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business, Tools for Time Care is the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time Care is the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time Care is the Honda generators. They have a knowledgeable staff that can answer your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer all of your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is located at 11291. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Perhaps you say, how do I find that? It's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a gigantic flagpole about 165 feet there with Old Glory, the U.S. flag flowing 24/7. At the base of that flagpole, you find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, wait, wait. There's some good, good news. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly, oriented environment. Tools for Time is closed on Sundays, allowing all of its employees to be able to be with the family and to worship in the house of God, as is the plan of God for the families to worship together on Sunday. Ladies and gentlemen, drop by Tools for Time at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Make an application for employment, wait for an interview, and see what God does in placing you in the home and family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you that we're talking about today, what is paradise? Is paradise heaven, or is it something different? I have with me today, ladies and gentlemen, Pastor Glenn Davis. Pastor Davis hails from the great city of Folkestone, Georgia.
Amen.
Pastor, good
Amen.
To have you with us today.
Amen. Thank you so much, Dr. Youngblood. It's always a pleasure to be with you on the broadcast, of course. We are trying to get the word out there to the people of God that even though we love this United States of America as Amen. Our country,
Amen.
God has prepared a better country for us.
You got it.
Because when we go down into the scriptures and see what Jesus said in the book of John, chapter 14, verse 2, he said, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also.
Amen.
And I don't know about you, amen. Well, I know about you, but I mean, I'm talking about the
other people
that are listening,
yes.
amen, on today. I want to be where Jesus is.
Amen.
I want to go to that place where he has prepared for me because he has promised us that. And I believe that he's a promise keeper on
yes.
today.
Yes.
And when we go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, just a few verses right there before we get started. When we go to chapter 11, all the people that we call that held on to the promises of God that are listed in the hall of faith. When it got down to verse number 13, it said, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth.
Amen.
Dr. Youngblood, if they did that back in that day and time, we should be doing the very same thing.
Absolutely.
Because we have a greater advantage now.
Yeah.
These people died in faith.
Mm-hmm.
But we have the Savior
That's right.
that died for us on the cross and left us the promises, amen, better promises, amen, that these people had, even though he's going to fulfill it and bless all of us together, the Old Testament saints and the New Testament saints together.
Right.
But we have to embrace those promises and believe and know, amen, that this world is not our home.
Amen. We're just aliens
we're just
passing through.
Passing through,
aliens.
Amen. So we're
seeking
a better
country. We're the undocumented passing through.
Amen. Amen. I get all excited about that.
I do,
that.
Absolutely.
Amen. And yeah. when it went down, I'm just going to read this last one. When it went down to verse number 16, I'm skipping everything else, but I want you to read, amen, Hebrews 11, 13 through 16, and see what the Lord had to say. But the last verse, for the sake of time, he said, but now they desire a better country, that is an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. Amen. We have a prepared place on today. And God, amen,
it's a prepared place for a prepared people, brother.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Amen. Amen.
I believe we have Jim on the line. Jim, go over the question and comment, please.
Hello, Dr. Youngblood, Pastor Davis, gentlemen.
Good morning. Delighted to have you with us today.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, Christ told the thief on the cross, today you'll be in paradise with me. Pastor Davis said it before I could say it here on air. I'm just passing through. To be quite honest with you, gentlemen, I would just be happy to be a street sweeper. as long Amen. As I'm there.
Amen. Let me ask you a question. Jim, put you on the spot for a moment. There's a great debate. I don't know if you're aware of it or not. A great theological debate. And it's not just among theological scholars. It's not just among pastors and Bible students. It is in general across all denominational lines where there's a great debate that paradise is not heaven. It's a separate place, a different place that you go to first. And then eventually, in the great day of the resurrection, as one writer called it, you'll be resurrected and brought into either heaven or hell. What is your position on that? What do you know about that? And how do you? What questions do you have about it?
The only thing that I have in my mind there is to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord Jesus Christ. To me, I can't see of there being anywhere else I would want to be. That's heaven.
Amen. Amen. We'll talk about that, and I pray that it will be further illumination and inspiration and challenge for not only you, but for all of our listeners today. Jim, as we talk about it, we're going to get into a little meaty portion of this theological diatribe debate. What is paradise? Is paradise heaven? Or is paradise a separate place? But, Jim, thank you, brother, for your call. Looking up, our redemption draweth nigh. Ladies and gentlemen, in today's world, listen very carefully, in today's world, we have a variety of opinions. In fact, someone said opinions are a dime a dozen, Pastor.
Amen.
Everybody's
Amen.
Got an opinion. There are a variety of philosophies about life and living and about political and spiritual things. But, ladies and gentlemen, it's bad enough to be wrong about civil issues. It's bad to be wrong about political issues. It's even bad to be wrong about economic issues. But I'm here to tell you there's a great difference in life and death. And when it comes to spiritual truth, there's a great need to be on target and understanding what the Scripture says.
Amen.
Now, I'm not saying, Pastor, that everybody needs to be a theological person. I'm not saying that everybody needs to understand from Genesis 1:1 through the book of the Revelation. In fact, I've used the term, and you've heard me in the classroom, and I do so from the pulpit. I believe I could invest 100 lifetimes, not 100 years, but 100 lifetimes in studying the Scripture and never scratch the surface on the breadth and the depth of what God has in His Word
Amen.
That we will never this side of eternity
Amen.
Understand. And
Praise
so
God.
I'm a 100% believer that I'm a eternal, perpetual student of studying the Word and learning the Word. But there's a great debate today, and that debate is about paradise. Is paradise a synonym for heaven? That's the question I want you to answer. Is paradise a synonym for heaven, or is paradise another place altogether? Is there a holding place for the dead, both lost and saved? Now, listen very carefully, ladies and gentlemen. There is a theological diatribe, a theological debate, a theological discussion that's being picked up and embraced by many, many, many otherwise conservative, sound, solid, doctrinal, theologically sound preachers in America today. And they take the position that paradise is not heaven, that paradise is simply a temporary holding place. I'm going to call it a holding tank for the benefit of our discussion today.
Amen.
And in that holding tank, in that holding place, both the lost and the saved are there waiting for eternity. Waiting until a resurrection, and at the resurrection, they'll be brought out of that holding tank, and those that are good will go to heaven, those that are bad will go to hell. Ladies and gentlemen, a number of pastors and preachers and Bible students commit what I think is a grave, grave, grave theological, biblical mistake when it comes to the discussion about paradise. And perhaps you say, well, what difference does it make? It makes a vast difference, ladies and gentlemen. If you want to believe, as the cult called Jehovah's Witness, and as the cult that's called Seventh-day Adventism, and the cults in other areas that believe that there's soul sleep, that you die and your soul stays asleep in that grave until the great day of awakening, the great day of resurrection, and then you will come out and be judged, and then God will make a determination, a decision where you're going to go. Ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't work that way. Some say, for example, that Sheol and Hades are indications of some holding place. Ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. Sheol in the Old Testament, Hades in the New Testament, is simply another term for the grave. But in the grave, it's not a holding place for the good and the bad. It is a place where the body resides until the spirit comes forth and joins the glorified and then resurrected body, and then that spends eternity with either the Lord Jesus Christ or in that place called hell.
Amen.
But ladies and gentlemen, I want us to understand, we're going to look at scripture after scripture after scripture today that will validate what I'm saying. But if you believe there's a holding tank, if you believe there's a separate place that is called paradise that is not heaven, I want you to tell me where it's found. I want you to explain. I want you to teach me today where I'm wrong if you believe paradise is a holding tank, is a place for the saved dead and the lost dead, and there's just a partition between them. And always, always, when they talk about they, those that believe in paradise as being a holding tank, our temporary state, I want you to show me where you find it in the scripture, but in each and every case when they talk about it, it's always referred to as downward. Multitudes today take the word Sheol and Hades as an implication that it is that place that is called paradise that is simply holding tank. And ladies and gentlemen, that then validates the Roman Catholic belief about limbo and purgatory. And in my study and understanding of this, ladies and gentlemen, there are a number of people that go back to some old theological beliefs and some of the old theological beliefs that have gone to the apocryphal books and to the pseudepigraphal writings. That pseudepigraphal means false writings. They've gone to the false writings and to the apocryphal books that will validate that there's a holding place for the dead, both good and bad. And ladies and gentlemen, that's a sad, sad commentary on a multitude of those that are otherwise solid preachers standing in the pulpits preaching that paradise is that holding tank. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not going to call the name because they don't want to be denigrative, but just recently I listened to a couple of men that's on this very same network talking about paradise. They were accepting calls and answering questions about paradise, and they did enough mumbo-jumbo in their diatribe that it was evident they didn't have any earthly idea what they were talking about themselves, simply said, well, paradise is simply a good place. And so when Jesus said, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise, he was just simply say, boy, son, you're going to be in a good place today. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the farthest thing from the truth of the Word of God.
Amen.
It's the farthest thing, Pastor. I am concerned, Pastor, with those that preachers, Bible students, rather than saying, I don't know, they're trying to ramble around and give a half-handed answer that destroys the integrity of the Word of God.
Amen.
I'd rather a pastor anytime say, I don't know, but I'll research it, than to give me an answer that is what somebody has written rather than what the Bible says. The Bible interprets the Bible.
Amen. And then, Dr. Youngblood, by doing things like that, they instill a false hope in people.
Yes.
Because some think that you can continue to live like you want to, as you said, and when they die, they're just going to a holding tank.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps the family can pray them out of that.
Yes.
Let's not be deceived. One thing for sure we need to know. We have no control over how we got here, mm-hmm. but you have control over where you go when you leave here.
You got it.
Because you're going to need to make a decision, and a conscious decision, right now, even after you hear the truth of the scripture coming from us on today, you are charged with making a choice.
Yes, a volitional decision.
So let's not fool yourself. Amen. Heaven is real, and hell is real as well.
Absolutely.
Amen.
And one of the things that we need to understand, ladies and gentlemen, heaven and hell, the two eternal destinies, and you make the choice, as Pastor Davis just said, it's a volitional decision. And that decision is based on saying yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. And the end result, the final footnote on what we'll say today, it's not a matter of where is paradise? What is paradise? Is paradise heaven? Is paradise a holding tank, et cetera, et cetera? Although we're going to clarify that, that's not the question. The question is, are you prepared for eternity?
Amen.
Have you said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord?
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, so what is paradise? What did Jesus say to the thief on the cross that was dying? One thief railed against Jesus, and one thief turned and said, remember me. And Jesus said in Luke 23 and verse 43, Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Jesus was not certainly talking about that today he was going to go to a comfortable place. Jesus was not saying that I'm going to go to a holding tank and I'm going to take you with me. Jesus was not saying that there's a separate place. Pastor Davis just mentioned in John 14, where it talked about Jesus going to prepare a place for us, and when he prepares a place for us, where he is, he's going to take us there with him. Heaven, paradise, is a prepared place for prepared people. If you're not prepared, you won't be there.
Amen.
So where
Amen.
Was it that Jesus was saying today, not tomorrow, not after a long period of time, not after the resurrection, not after judgment day, but today, he said to that thief dying on the cross, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. It indicates here, this indicates completely where Jesus would be after his death.
Amen.
Jesus Christ knew that he was going to die on the cross. Jesus Christ is God incarnate, God come in the flesh. He came into the world to die, and with his stretched out arms on Mount Calvary, he said, "Tetelestai, it is finished. Salvation is done. My work is complete." And he was saying to that dying thief on the cross that called on him in faith, "Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise." He didn't say, if you get to be a Baptist, you'll go with me to heaven. He didn't say, if you're baptized, you'll go to meet with, with me in heaven. He didn't say, eventually, you'll come out of that holding tank and you will be. He's talking about paradise is an absolute synonym for that place called heaven.
Amen.
Nothing more, nothing less. You
Amen.
Can split hairs all you want to. You can have all the diatribe and the dialogue you want to. You can have all the discussion and the debate that you'd like. You can have all the dissension and division, denominationally speaking, that you'd like to. But paradise is a synonym for that place called heaven.
Amen.
That's where Jesus was going. He was going to that place called heaven, and he knew that. And some say that Jesus was saying, you're going to be with me in a good place.
Amen.
Pastor,
Amen.
That is simply not what he was saying. You're going to be with me in heaven. Today, Jesus Christ rules and reigns in that place called heaven.
Amen.
Today, Jesus Christ has prepared a place for everyone that said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is indicating here that there's no theological understanding, biblically speaking, of that place called heaven, if you want to call paradise a separate place from that place called heaven. So, Pastor, I've broken it down for talking points, three basic points. Number one is the definition of paradise. The definition of paradise. Turn, Pastor, to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And read for us verse 3 and 4. Well, back up to verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Read verses 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Amen. Amen. And let us make sure we understand, Dr. Youngblood, also, we have the truth of the scripture.
Yes.
As proof. Because when Jesus left here as the firstborn from the dead,
mm-hmm.
let's remember that Acts chapter 1 records him as leaving from the Mount of Olives, being received up into heaven by the clouds.
Yes.
So where did he go? He went back to heaven.
Yes.
Amen. So if he went back to heaven, then that lets us know that's where we're going.
We're
going
to be with him.
Because he said he was going to prepare a place, and we have proof that that's where he went because he left
that's right.
from the Mount of Olives.
Absolutely.
Amen. So he says 2 Corinthians chapter 2.
Chapter 12.
Chapter 12.
Verse
Amen.
3 and 4. Well, back up to verse 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Amen.
It's the Apostle Paul talking about the vision that he had and where he was. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, paradise is mentioned only three times in the scripture. It's Luke chapter 23, verse 43, Revelation chapter 2, verse 7, and 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4. And we're about to read, Pastor Dave's about to read verse 1, 2, 3, and 4. Read that for us, Pastor.
Amen. Brother Paul said, "It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter."
The Apostle Paul not wanting to say it's he's the man, but he was the man, basically saying he was caught up into the third heaven, and then he relates caught up into the third heaven, which is, he says, paradise.
Amen. Amen.
Right in the text itself, ladies and gentlemen, it validates that that place called paradise is the same as that place called heaven, the Apostle Paul speaking. And ladies and gentlemen, the second chapter of Revelation, and in the seventh verse, it's dealing with the church at Ephesus. And in the seventh verse, it says, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God.
Amen.
And so God is speaking here to the church at Ephesus, talking about that one that is faithful, that one that is true, that one that has said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, will be as the one that is the overcomer. He that overcometh will I give. It's not talking about you just got to over. It's the one that keeps on keeping on in the face of difficulties and darkness and devastation and danger. That validates whether or not you've truly been saved. He's talking about the one that is saved. I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the notice the scripture says there, which is in the midst of the garden of paradise. And then when you turn to Revelation chapter 22, you find, ladies and gentlemen, it talks about that. And he showed me a pure river of water, the scripture says, and it's talking about that place that is called heaven, of clear water, clear as life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and out of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, there was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded the fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And it goes on to talk about in that place there shall be no more curse but the throne of God, etc., etc., etc. Ladies and gentlemen, the point that I want to make with that, the Apostle Paul talked about the caught up into the third heaven, that's the abode of God, and he refers to that then as paradise, and that paradise is the abode of God. It is the place that is called heaven, and there's not a secondary place. It's not a tertiary place. It is simply that. And paradise, again, is mentioned three times in Luke 23:43, 2 Corinthians 12:4, and Revelation 2:7. And ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ knew that he was going to die on the old rugged cross, that he was going to be in that place called heaven very soon with the Father. And therefore, he used paradise as a synonym for heaven. In Jesus' high priestly prayer, Pastor Davis, in John 17, verse 4 and 5 in particular, I'm going to paraphrase for the benefit of time, Jesus said he was looking forward to the restoration of the glory, and it's the word doxa, the brilliance, the splendor that he had with the Father before he came to the earth, and he was looking forward to that. He didn't say that he was looking forward to going to paradise or holding tank, but going back to the Father.
Amen.
Where's the Father's abode? It's in that place called heaven.
Amen.
The Father is not abiding today, God the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son, not in a place called paradise, not in a holding tank, waiting for some future resurrection day. It is that place called heaven. Let me remind you again, ladies and gentlemen, paradise is a synonym for that place called heaven. Nothing more, nothing less. It's been debated, dissected, and reviewed for centuries, and there's some young theologians, not talking about young in years, but young from the standpoint of not going back several hundred years, that's going back to some of the old false theology that wants to depict paradise as being a holding tank where there's a division, a partition. In fact, I listened to a famous conservative, theologically sound preacher just very recently preaching from his pulpit. The message goes globally, and he was talking about that as a place of holding. There's a divider there, and on one side of the divide there are those that are saved. On the other side of the divide there those that are lost, and they're in that holding state until eventually the judgment day, and they're taken out and then put into hell or put into heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, that's simply not true biblically. The definition of paradise, suffice it to say, is a synonym for that place called heaven. Nothing more and nothing less. And ladies and gentlemen, right after the news break, we're going to continue our thought today on what is paradise. Is it heaven? Is it the same as heaven? Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.